I've never seen Countdown on this podcast before. Then you're telling me that there's a Countdown right now?
The Countdown's already done, whether or already rolling at the most moment, actually.
That's horseshit.
I mean, it is a little horseshit, but it is what's happening. So everyone's just listening to this. Why are we going to get to the show, or are we just going to...
No! Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Scott.
And I am Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer podcast. Every week, we usually play a game to tell you about it, but we're on a month sabbatical.
Yes, we are. We're just giving our controversial takes instead.
Yes, so this week's take is going to be... What are we doing this week? Our least favorite and most favorite characters from video games?
Yes. And then also and our favorite gaming moments.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The moments. The moments. Yes. And we decided to do like a top four for our moments, but we only picked one for our least favorite,
Least favorite characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well,
I put some stipulations on mine. So,
okay. Why don't you start it off?
So I wanted to make sure it was like favorite main characters is what I was focusing on.
And I debated doing side characters too, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to focus main. And I tried my best not to do characters where you make the choices.
Yes. That was a big point for me too.
I ended up doing one that you make a lot of the choices, but I think either way he comes across as pretty good, a good guy. So
that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of people saying like a bunch of like big things like Shepard and Mass Effect, like Steve from Minecraft, like Link,
and I'm
all
like,
these characters.
Yeah, like who the fuck is going to say, and that's my first thought. It's like, well, Commander Shepard's kind of cool, but then like your commander, you make every single choice.
Yes.
He has
yes.
no neutral choices. He's him and everything he does is you.
Yeah, and if you choose all the things that you enjoy, then of course you enjoy that character. It's not like the character was made and you just enjoy it as is.
Yeah.
Like you're
now, if you said,
defining it.
If you said Commander Anderson, or is it Commander Anderson? Captain Anderson? I think it was Captain Anderson. Like, he's a cool character. He's a side character, but he has a lot of volume compared to Shepard does, I feel like.
Yeah, you're talking about from Halo?
No. From Mass Effect.
Oh, okay. Are you talking about like the main guy, Keith David, plays?
Yeah, he was the original captain of the Normandy, and then Shepard took over. Or you could say Joker, because Joker's probably the best character in that entire franchise.
Fair. But yeah, so with all that said, I went with the character I always go back to. I love it in every rendition, whether it's movie, TV show, cartoons, video games, Lara Croft. I think she's just one of the most phenomenal characters. I love a good bow and arrow. She's like my favorite of the archaeology kind of people. I love her way more than Indiana Jones. I love her more than Nathan Drake.
How
I know that's
dare
blasphemy.
You?
This is my hot take. Hey, this is about hot takes. This is a hot take.
I hated Nathan Drake, so that's fine.
That's also a hot take.
That guy blew so hard, it wasn't even funny.
I do want to go more than the franchise because I know it gets better as it goes.
Yeah, maybe. But like, yes, the first game doesn't always sell us, but a lot of the times it sells us enough to play the second game.
Yeah.
And
I
that
mean, like,
first game did not sell me at all.
All the Tomb Raiders, whether they're bad or good, like I enjoy playing them.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't talking about Tomb Raider. I was talking about...
No,
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Uncharted.
Uncharted, yeah. I was going to say Drake's Fortune. No, that's not what it's called.
That was the first one. Drake's
Fortune. It is the first one, but it's such a dumb name that...
I know. Yeah. They're not good with their names. It's okay.
Halo had it right. Just like Halo. Yes. Halo 2. Halo 3. You know, very,
I mean, fair.
Yeah, very simple name.
I like the Tomb Raider names, especially like the recent trilogy.
Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider 2.2.
I mean, they're pretty basic, but they're still cool.
Yeah, I mean... I think basic is better. I think the more simple, the better the game. But I'll agree. I think Lara Croft is one of those. She's just always been one of those people that people love. Even like the old Lara Croft with her fucking polygon boobs.
Polygon boobs, man.
Yeah. That's a lot. And it's funny because that's the reason a lot of gamers played that fucking game was because of the polygon boobs. It's so great. Guys are so fucking creepy no matter what we do.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. At times, it really comes out.
All right. I'm going to go with my most favorite guy.
Okay.
This guy, seriously, like, he is make your own choices. But, like, no matter what, he always seems like the good guy. And the voice actor is amazing for him. And he's just awesome. Like, we're going to talk about Lee Everett.
Lee Everett.
Do you remember Lee Everett?
Oh, is that Walking Dead?
Yep. The lead character in the first season of the Walking Dead Telltale game series.
That's fair. That's a good...
God, he was just... He was the coolest character. And even when he was mad, he's like, I want you to get out of here, please. You know, it's just like he was always the coolest. He always had the most. And then he gets bitten by a zombie and still says, I need to go rescue Clementine, even though I'm currently fucking dying.
Yeah.
Chops off his own hand. You get the choice to do that. And you know that he would. Like, that's the thing. He could read his character really well, and you know he would chop off his own fucking hand.
No, that's fair, and it's hard in a game like that because, like, a lot of the choices he has to make, they're awful either way.
Yeah.
And so you can't really say, like, what, he's a better person in one scenario over the other because there's a lot of gray area in that game with the decisions you make.
Like, no matter what decision you make, you like him. That's the big thing. Like, he is such a fucking leader in that game. Like, everything about that character was awesome. I love that character so much. He's the reason that game was sold to me, pretty much.
And, that's
fair. Again, that ending, he gets bit. You know, he could say, okay, I'm just going to sit here and die slowly and it's fine. And even as he's dying, he's telling Clementine, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Just shoot me in the head. It's going to be fine.
Seriously.
Don't let me hurt you. Like, that's the kind of guy he was. God, he was so fucking cool.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. Like, that's such a great part of the game. And just, he's such a powerful performance, honestly. And that, like... Yeah. Really, it was like one of the best Telltale games for as far as like grabbing emotion and being a tied to a TV series was kind of crazy too.
Yeah, and I mean,
comic series.
It's hard to do that a lot of the times because, you know, when you have a TV series that's popular, you kind of want it to follow the main story of the TV series if you make a game from it. And, to go in a completely separate direction altogether, it's wild that they were able to do that and do it so successfully.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing that I really enjoy about a lot of, like, really mainstream media. Like, when they're able to branch out from what they normally do, but still do it really well. Like, I wish a lot of more times we see more of the world. Like, I was saying that with the Star Wars series and stuff like that. Like, there's so many planets, but a lot of times we see, like, the first or the main, like, nine, especially, like, the first six movies. Well, there's only, like... So many planets you go on.
You might as well at that point have one planet and all these places on that single planet because you don't even explore the planet really. You just go to like one tiny area on the planet. Like it's just
you
just
see one city or one building.
It's like we're in the I don't even remember Alderaan and we're in the capital city and that's it.
Yep.
That's where we stop. Yep. We're not going anywhere else. We go anywhere else, fuck you.
Yeah, and I mean, just even, like, a lot of times, like, I was also getting really tired when, in the new trilogy, they brought in old characters where it was tied to the original trilogy characters. Like, everyone had to be tied to characters. Like, you couldn't just branch out this. Out of all the billions of peoples and millions of planets and stuff, you can't show us a story not about the Skywalkers or not about Palpatines. Yeah. Like,
seriously,
anything else?
It's like... Again, it's like having it on one single planet, and so you're more limited in the choices, but even a planet's fucking huge, so there's millions of things that could happen, then a galaxy is a billion times bigger than a fucking planet, maybe like 20 trillion times bigger. Like, why the fuck would you focus on one guy so hard?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, so.
Yeah, it is. It's
I really think, like, that was the best, like, thing The Walking Dead could have done, and to make such a strong character outside of the show that everyone fell in love with, especially because everyone fell in love with both him and Clementine.
Yeah, and Clementine, she's awesome, and then she gets into this dark spiral really fast in the future games.
I mean, that's fair. It happens. Yeah, zombie apocalypse is hard to deal with.
It should happen. It should. It just gets sad, because you're like, you used to be such a sweet little girl. What happened to that little girl?
I feel like every parent of a teenager right now.
Why are you rebelling so hard?
All right, what's your least favorite character now?
Okay.
Of all time.
So I had to go with, again, least favorite playable characters, and I was really torn between two, but now I think I'm going to just stick with the one. It's probably the most controversial, but I'm going to say a two-parter because both of them are the main characters of this game. Abby and Ellie from The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
I love parts of these characters, but I can't love someone who makes the wrong decision at every turn on a constant basis, always and unforgivingly so.
I'm sorry, Steven. Were you the perfect fucking guy growing up? You made all the right decisions?
No, I'm not saying you don't make all the right decisions, but I'm saying there's a point where you're losing everything in your entire life and you realize the thing you're obsessing about needs to stop.
Yeah,
and you keep going, and I don't get when people do that.
Well, it's like they purposely wrote her to be a shitty person. Like, my theory for that game is they wrote Ellie to be shitty, and they wrote this other character to be shitty, and their original thought, well, let's kill them both in the end. That way everybody's happy. They're both shitty characters. No one's going to like them. But then there's probably going to be backlash from killing Ellie because she was such a upstanding character in the first game.
Yeah.
So my new theory is they're going to release a third game and they're probably going to kill both in that game.
There is a third game coming out. And I was really hoping it has nothing to do with them, but I
bet Ellie's not going to be the main character. I bet she's just going to be a side thing. And I bet she's going to die.
But yeah, it's probably so. And honestly, like, because like I really loved the first game so much. And the first game, especially like with Joel, I know he did some horrible things, but it was one of those things where it's like he's kind of doing it for the right reasons and he might be right, but he might be wrong. There's not a full right answer. I know he did all horrible, shitty things at the end of that game, but especially lying to her about it for so long. And I know like they had a huge falling out when they like talked about it and everything, but there's just something about that where even he like gave up the anger and he wanted to just settle down with her. And after seeing Joel go through all that, Ellie doing all the same things, but then pushing further and then losing her wife, who honestly was the best character in the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And it just crushed me, but I was so happy for Dina to walk out and just leave her. Like, I was so happy that they broke up at the end. And that's something
like
I shouldn't feel.
You act like you're
watching a sitcom. Dude, it was like, I'm like, fuck, I can't say that I enjoyed this character anymore. And it sucks because, like, I even have, like, Last of Us tattoo stuff on me and I love it so much. But, like, they kind of made me hate the character I really, like, loved in the first one. And I still,
Steven,
love the story.
This is a very good transition into my least favorite character.
Yes,
we're
going to
talk a little bit about fucking Joel for a minute.
Oh, shit. Okay.
This guy sucks so hard. He just, like you really, and Steven was so mad at me when I first played Last of Us. Because I'm like, Joel is just such a piece of shit all the fuck. No matter what he says, he's just an asshole. Like, there's very few shining moments where he's like, I'm going to care about you like my daughter. And then, like, those are fleeting by the time he just decides, I'm going to shoot this guy in the head instead.
Yeah,
it's just like he makes all the wrong decisions all the time in the entire fucking game. Like, they have a chance at a cure, and he's like, we're going to leave her in the fucking wilds. And then the lady's like, yeah, we're not going to fucking do that. I'm going to die, and it's going to be fine. She was a better character. She should have been the main character of that fucking game, not Joel. If they traded, if they literally had Joel die at that moment, and then have the lady who died, his, like, partner, girlfriend.
Marlena?
Something like that. Instead, that would have been perfect, because she was cool.
She was really cool.
Yeah. And Joel was just such a piece of shit. And then by the end of the game, the end is the only saving grace for Joel, and then he fucks it. They wrote him so poorly. Like, I feel so bad for people who like him, because that ending just fucks him so hard.
Well, especially because, like, you really do. Like, you kind of get this, like, endearing character, and you kind of are siding with him because of what he's gone through and what you've seen him go through. That first 15 minutes of the game really, like, sets you up to be like,
you should feel bad for him.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as you cried at this first 16 minutes, which most people who played it did, myself included.
I actually was. Remember, I made a song out of the...
Yes.
I had your making my dreams come true as the explosion at the gas station's happening and all that stuff.
Because that's when you were doing your like little dog thing on the projector, right?
No. I was just fucking around when I was playing the game.
Oh, okay.
I started playing the song because it just seemed to fit. Like, it's kind of like morbidly fitting into this moment where things are blowing up and people are dying and getting attacked. And then she gets shot. At the moment she gets shot, you're making my dreams come true.
Oh,
it's just like,
oh my God.
And like, and you almost consider that a good thing because the odds of her making it into the future are super low, and it's more horrific to
especially
get like eaten alive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it, to me, it's like there is no... It almost is preferred she died at that moment because future moments would have been more terrible to die at.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of to be said with that and a lot of things that a lot of people think about but don't always think about. Like, sometimes just getting shot in the head is better than being slowly eaten by a zombie.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, you can never know what's going to happen in the future, and you're not going to plan for any of these things to happen. So it's kind of always a gamble. But
guys, seriously, if you haven't played this game, at the end of the game, they have a chance to cure the thing. And like later in the second game, they find out it wouldn't have cured shit. But you don't know that in the first fucking game. You do not know this. And
well, and it's even, I think, not even fully confirmed that it wouldn't have worked. It's just highly doubtable.
Yeah, it's highly doubtable, but... Like, he just decides, okay, well, even though this could save the human race, fuck the human race. We need this little girl alive. She's going to do great things in the second game, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing. And then he goes, he kills this very important doctor who is very smart and working on a cure. And then he decimates a hospital of people and kills all these nurses, too. Very smart, very important for the cure. And then he takes Ellie and she's like, did something happen? And he completely just fucking lies to her.
Yeah,
he could
it didn't
have,
work.
At that moment.
There was other kids there that were cured.
Yeah, yeah. Like, at that moment, he could have said, like, no. I didn't want you to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have redeemed him. But then he fucking lies still. I'm like, oh, come on, fuck you.
Yeah.
And it's the like, that's where I wanted a choice where we make the choice whether to tell the truth or lie. But I understand why they didn't do that because PlayStation is more of a cinematic experience, less of a choice experience.
For sure.
So,
I mean,
it all sucks.
It was a character that I have absolutely loved and loved and loved. I mean, I have his signature on a poster behind me.
Well, yeah, because the voice actor is fucking cool as shit.
He's an amazing person.
But unfortunately,
Troy Baker,
the character he voiced is not.
He just, it's one of those things, like, I love parts of his character so much, but I do have to admit that his faults are high. Like, he did a lot of horrible, bad things. And they even talk about, like, he used to be way worse in the past. Like, there's a gap in time in the first game. And
he's basically
apparently
a murderer.
He was off. Yeah, he was, like, the worst kind of murderer out there.
And, like, even in the beginning of the game, he's not with his baby mama. So clearly something happened there, and I have a strong suspicion it was his fault. I have a strong suspicion that he did something fucked up. Not confirmed, but I'm going to suspect it.
I don't want to throw that kind of shade, but I mean, it's possible.
Something tells me he's a wife beater, too. A lot of speculation. But yeah, those are our favorite and least favorite characters, so let's just move right along here.
I can't believe we both went Last of Us. That's hilarious.
I didn't expect you to go Ellie, but it makes sense. People fucking hate her in the second game. It is
my honorable mention was Scott Shelby from Heavy Rain, just because I hate playing as the killer, like knowing you're the killer. But you're trying to figure out, and like it's like, no, I don't know.
Yeah. I would have chosen the main guy, just because Jason! I had an aneurysm while playing the game because he kept saying, Jason!
So ridiculous. All right, well, let's get on to
worst
our favorite gaming moments, though.
Alive, I think. I hope that guy never got cast for anything, I guess.
Oh, that was so bad.
All right, favorite moments in games.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about these. Let me go first here.
Go for it.
I'm not going to, these aren't in any specific order. I couldn't, they're cool, but they're not like, this is number one. This is, they're all equally cool to me. So
fair, fair.
I'm going to start with the Brood Mother.
Brood Mother.
So Dragon Age, you are in the underground tunnels of like the ancient dwarven roads, the deep roads. And there's a point where it starts getting really fucking creepy. And Dragon Age does get creepy, but this is the creepiest thing they've ever done. So you're in this tunnel and you start hearing this voice. It's like telling a nursery rhyme overhead, like it's in a loudspeaker, but there's clearly no loudspeakers going on.
Creepy,
and everyone
creepy.
Is creepier and creepier and creepier. Then you meet this character who's like, the Darkspawn were basically raping us the entire time we were here. And I'm like, what the fuck? Okay.
What?
And they're like, and they were feeding us like other Darkspawn, and they took this other girl, and I don't know what happened to her, but I don't think she's the same anymore. And she like, this girl already looks fucked, right?
Okay.
And then you move on to the next section, and the Brood Mother is just this like giant heap. It looks like kind of like the Flood in Halo, the big guys.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Right? It's just this giant heap, and it's got these like, for some reason, the tits are out in it too. I think they just did that because I think fantasy likes, like, gets off on naked people a lot.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. I don't know why. A lot of the grotesque monsters always have their tits, and they're like,
yeah.
I'm gonna make tits
like,
gross, so you feel
like
bad
Mass
about
Effect
looking
3,
at tits.
When they had the Asari become the weird things, but so she's disgusting looking, and she used to be a dwarf, but she's like double the size of you now, and all she's used for is producing darkspawn.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, like, and it's just, like, the creepiest moment in the game, but it's so fucking, it's everlasting to me, because I'll forget about it, and then I'll be like, oh my god, what was that game I played where that fucking creepy-ass thing happened? Like, and I'll think about it every now and again and be like, oh my god, that was awful. I hated that moment in the game.
Yeah.
That sucked so hard.
Damn, okay, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy moment, but it's everlasting. I think they did such a good job just making that a very... It's not a scary game, but that moment feels like a horror game.
Okay, okay. That's a good one. That's a good one.
So I got one, and it might be one that I know we both feel really strongly about this one. So this one obviously is talked about a lot, but I tried picking games we don't talk about a lot. So this is the Would You Kindly moment in BioShock. I mean,
dude, what is wrong with us today?
What do you mean?
You'll see.
Oh, okay. This is just one of the moments that I will never forget about. It's probably best twist in all of video
gaming.
Yes. I mean, what the fuck? That moment when you get forced with the golf club to do that and you realize how much you've been played the entire game, it just made the entire game better. It was one of those moments where the game itself was like, it's hard, it's creepy, it's weird controls sometimes, the gunplay is not the greatest. Big daddies are a bitch.
Big daddies are a bitch, and there's weird powers and shit you have to learn.
Yes.
Kind of utilize in a good way, and it's not always easy to utilize those powers. But
you get to this moment, and you think back, it's one of those moments where, like, in a movie, where the character, like, all of a sudden just remembers everything. And you see a flash flood of like scenes from the movie where you're just like, holy shit, this entire time, every time you've been saying that one, oh my God, you've been playing. What the
fuck? Do they do the flashback sequence? I don't remember.
I don't think they did.
I think you just realized, right? Because you're like,
yeah, like it just like, it was one of the things that like clicked. It occurred in my head. And I was like, holy shit.
No way. They fucking said that the entire game.
Like, I can't believe this.
And it's funny, too, because, like, in a game, you are in complete control of the character, but your navigation is structured by the game's environment.
Yes.
So, but in this case, they're saying the game's environment maybe wasn't the thing that was forcing you to do all these things. Maybe it was this guy saying, would you kindly? Like, which is a crazy, like, it really does fuck with your head a little bit, where you're like, maybe I could have opened that door, but I just couldn't because my brain wouldn't allow me to, like, open it.
Yes. Well, and, like, it makes everything a mindfuck of that game because you're just sitting here like, what? Wait, So none of this, so you've been controlling me this entire time. Every task I've ever been given wasn't me deciding to do it. It was you playing it. And you, the way they did that with the game and the story was so well written.
Yeah.
Because it, you figured it out like when the character figured it out.
Yeah.
So it just, it blew both your minds at the same time.
Like, you would have no, there was no, if anyone said like, oh, I do the first time,
no.
Like, you're a piece of shit. Fuck you. But.
Yeah, like, there's no way, because it's who usually gets these things right and guesses these things ahead of time. There is no way.
Way, because like the randomness of you falling from the plane and then discovering Rapture and all this shit, like it just did not seem like you were ever coerced into doing anything. But like in games, we're used to doing things that are kind of out of the ordinary for normal characters anyway. So,
well, it's not like something that you knew this character beforehand, so you knew that he wouldn't start out a sentence by "Would you kindly?"
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is an old-timey game. He probably would say, would you kindly? Like,
would you kindly go help my fucking wife? And you're just like, okay, well, I mean, you said it, so I guess I'll go do it. You're being very sarcastic and shitty right now, but whatever.
All right, what's you got?
Oh, my God. So mine is going to be actually the descent into Rapture.
Oh,
from BioShock.
That is a great moment.
Yeah, honestly, like, this is one of my favorite things because they have a great fucking monologue in there where they're like, the communist would say it's not yours, it's the people's, the blah blah blah, and like so on and so forth. It's an awesome monologue, and while that monologue is happening, it's just like you get the glimpse of this underwater city, and it's fucking amazing. Like the environment and the whale that crosses right beneath you. And like the fish all around and everything, it looks amazing. It's fucking sweet as shit, guys. Like, if this was released today, that would look so realistic.
Oh, dude, I mean, I don't think I've even played the remaster versions of these games yet. I still need to go back and do that.
The remaster is never going to be as good as remaking the game in today's more like standard graphics, because they just increase the frame rate pretty much.
Now you can play it fair on a
really good console.
You know? That's fair. But I would like an actual like true remake with today's graphics, because
that would be
these
fucking
games,
sweet.
That moment is like, especially at the time, was beautiful. Like,
it was.
It's on par with me for like the giraffe moment in The Last of Us, as far as just like pure beauty that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. And that is actually one of the best moments in The Last of Us, is when they exit the fucking it was like a subway station, right?
Yeah, it was the subway and the sewers. Kind of
like
yeah.
part sewer, and then they get into a little underground tunnel or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and they end up in, I think, Salt Lake City is where they were at.
Yeah, I think they ended up, it was one of the, like, Salt Lake City, Wyoming, or Colorado. They went to, like, all three of those at one point.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's beautiful coming out of that and seeing those fucking zoo animals just hanging out and doing shit. Mm-hmm. Like,
no, it really was. But yeah, so going down to Rapture, like, that is, for especially for going underwater, the best diving moment I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. What you got? What's your next one?
So for me, I actually am going to go with a game we kind of had widely varying loves for. And it was Immortality and Finding the Hidden Clips. And if we're... Just finding the hidden clips in general,
that first one is insane.
Is really insane. It's such a thing that catches you so off guard. You get immediately, especially for me, I got compelled to just find all of them. I was like, there's a whole hidden story in this too that I have to figure out. Like,
this is many as
this
you
is
want.
Insane. And this is like my kind of a dream for a video game because of how much of a movie lover I am. And I just honestly think this is incredible actors in every way. This is just amazing tier level of just like acting for a video game. It's insane. But like, especially if I had to pick one clip, it would be the Candy song. That song blew my mind when I first saw it. But
yeah,
just mainly just finding the clips in general.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, everyone that was really creepy was hard to watch because you're like, oh my God, I don't want to fucking watch you getting fucked. Can we stop already?
Either that or like just like the random like stabbings out of nowhere, or just like the random like creepy shit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And it's always like, tell them to stop looking at the camera. This is a porno. No one wants to realize.
Yeah, this is, it's got a lot of nudity. So be careful of that if you're wondering.
Yeah,
Nudity. All right, blood.
Well, I'm going to jump at you with a very famous moment in the game. A moment that infuriated gamers everywhere, but was a fucking sweet-ass thing to say at the end of a game.
Okay. I'm waiting.
All right. It's a moment. Picture in space. You're on a ship. And someone contacts you from Earth and says, Master Chief, what the hell are you doing on that Covenant ship? And he just says, sir, finishing this fight. It's just like the coolest, one of the coolest moments in all of video game. And that's just the fucking end of the game. Sir, finishing this fight. And that's it. That's all you get. And you're like, what? No. Like, and you're amazed because that's a fucking line. That is a fucking line to say at the end of the game.
It really is. Especially
and
the delivery.
Because you're like, wait, is that it? I don't get to see what happens next? Are you fucking kidding me? God damn, fuck you, Halo.
How long is do I have to wait till the next game comes out? You better be producing it already. I don't want to have to wait in the 5 years.
I think it took four years.
Three,
Halo 2 came out in either 2003 or 4, and Halo 3 came out in 2007.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
So, God, you had to wait so fucking, it's either 4 or 3 years. I mean, that is a long time. It doesn't sound like a long time, guys, but imagine in 2004, I was 13. And in 2007, I am 16. Mm-hmm. Like, and the difference between 13 and 16 is fucking crazy.
Or even a better thing, imagine having to wait 3 years for your favorite TV show ending cliffhanger or anime cliffhanger.
Yeah, well, like, it's like Arcane. Like, Arcane had a fucking crazy cliffhanger in the first season, and they didn't come out with the second season for like 3 years.
Yeah, I haven't even got to the second season yet because I'm watching so much other shit, and I'm like, I want to get to it, but I have to like almost do a recap of season one because it's been so long.
yep, I might rewatch it at some point. But just the insanity of that scene and how fucking hardcore it is. Like, that is just like the coolest line you could ever fucking say at the end of a game. I'm just going to say it. It was the coolest line anyone's ever said.
That's fair. I think that does go up there for, that'd be a fun list of like best ending like
one-liners.
Lines. Or like one-liners that heroes say. But yeah, so actually I have a Halo moment. It was one of my favorite moments as well.
Nice.
This is in Halo 1, and this is the first time you come up on the Flood. Especially walking into that room, seeing like everyone like dead, you get to kind of watch that clip of the guy's helmet cam, and that was one of the creepiest things at the time. Like, goddamn, I was not expecting that level of creepiness in a first-person shooter. especially because it was just like not scary at all before that in the slightest.
And I think that's where you fall in love with Sergeant Johnson for the first time.
Yes. Yes.
And then you turn to him, he's like that six Flood just touching him. He's like, get the hell off me. It's one of the most badass moments a person can do.
But oh my God, that moment, it cemented it in me because it was so creepy out of nowhere, but I loved it so much. And the way that they did that, it just wasn't matched again in the Halo series for me as far as like the creepiness. Like, Gravemind was kind of creepy in ways, but
a little bit.
Like, just that first introduction to the Flood was so strong that, like, that's the moment I remember the Flood. No matter how awesome the Flood got or grotesque, like, the visuals got, like, that first moment was so impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I like it. I like the idea of that. All right, my last one.
All right.
We're going to talk about the reveal of Darth Revan.
Ooh,
if you guys hear
a
jingle
one.
In the background, sorry, the dog is playing with a jingle toy now. And now barking. But there is a, like, all throughout the game, you get these, like, tiny, tiny hints that normally the Jedi don't take someone as old as you, but we'll make a special case. And like in Bastila saying, like, I tend to think that the masters were testing me by sending me along with you, and your training only taking a few months when it takes like 10, 15 years for Jedi to learn the shit. Like there's all these hints, but you don't really think about them when you first play the game. Like, you really don't put the pieces together that you might. Like, you just think, oh, I must be super cool or something. I must be the most special Jedi in the world. I'm fucking sweet. I'm the awesomest. And they do focus a lot on the relationship between Darth Revan and Darth Malak, but you only think it's like backstory because there is a lot happening in this game that's not expressed except by just little things that happen with the backstory.
Yeah, true.
That moment when that reveal happens, when it turns out that you're the guy and you backflashed all these moments where they gave you these tiny hints, you're just like, holy shit, I'm fucking Darth Revan.
They just total recall me?
Yeah, they did. They did total recall me. But it's such a cool moment in a game. It's such a cool reveal. Like, you know, it's the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong version of one of his shit movies, but they do it, like, a lot of games do it a lot better than he gets it.
That done. Only would have been better if when you remember that you're Dark Revan going, "Welcome to the party, Victor."
It would have been so cool, but that would have been too on the nose for Total Recall, I think.
Oh, definitely.
They would have been like,
I just watched that, so it just, the similarities just crossed so hard.
I love Total Recall is one of my favorite movies.
That's so good.
The three-breasted whatever she was in the fucking Mars, the mutant things, like.
Yep.
The weird, the coolest part about that whole fucking movie is the alien technology, and they don't get into it at all.
Yes.
Way to go,
guys. The terraforming is so ridiculous and how fast it works, but then like also like the being out of oxygen scenes are so wild.
They are.
You guys thought Roger Rabbit scene was pretty crazy at the end. You guys should watch this.
Yeah. But yeah, that was mine. That's okay. My last one. What do you got for your last one?
All right, so this one I had to think about quite a bit, and Jen actually helped me pick this one out because she's like, this is one you've talked about more than any other one, probably. And
yeah, once
I don't
we
know
start thinking
had...
about this stuff, guys, I will tell you, like, it's hard. We could play a game and be like, oh, fuck, I forgot this happened in here. You know,
yes. So. No, I mean, last year alone, I completed, I think, 65 games.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. I mean, it's not like an insane amount, but it's quite a bit, more than one a week. Memory gets foggy, but this is a game that I've played all the way through 8 times. This is Dark Souls 3, and this moment is the Dance of the Borealis, or however it's called.
What's his name? I can't think of his name. David Bowie. Does David Bowie come in and say, dance, baby, dance, 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 dance?
Dude,
dance.
I actually just watched Labyrinth last night. It was last night for the first time. So that's funny that you bring that up.
You remind me of a baby. What baby? Baby with the power.
Yeah, with the power. All
right, so explain this dance to me. The Dance of Borealis?
Dancer of Borealis. Something
Dancer
like that. I can't remember that.
Like the Aurora Borealis?
Right. Should I just look this shit up? I guess I should just look this shit up.
Oh, you should have had it probably ready beforehand, I think.
No, I did. Dancer of the Boreal Valley. Wow, that's terrible.
Boreo Valley. That makes more
Boreal
sense.
Valley. That's way more better.
So what game is this from? Dark Souls?
This is Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls 3.
Okay, so this moment was... So this is a moment you can fight this boss earlier than you're supposed to.
Yeah.
If you attack this poor old lady in a chair.
Well, you know what? I was just about to say, what, do you attack an old person? Of course.
Yes.
Of course, that's how you
in
find
church.
Her. You attack this poor old woman who's
in
there to give thanks to her great life
who's
of elderly.
Who's not hostile. She'll talk to you.
She's like, hey, young whippersnapper. Do you want
actually,
a lemon cookie?
She gives you an item to get to the next area where
is
you're
it
supposed
a lemon
to
cookie?
Go. But if you attack her... You can spawn this boss fight a little early, but this boss fight, this boss, like, comes down. This boss is, like, a very, like, elegant boss in the Dark Souls world. In a world full of grotesque monsters and crazy fighters, this is a very elongated, like, curtain-like, ethereal curtain-like wisp and cloaks around this character. Really sleek armor. And just really windy, like, snaky body movements.
Okay.
And, like, comes down from the ceiling, and it's very just, it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful moment, or one of the most beautiful moments in this game, besides seeing some of the city reveals. And this boss comes down there, and this boss kicks your fucking ass.
And there's one specific reason why everyone who comes to this boss fight, no matter when you come to it, whether you came into it early or when you're supposed to, has trouble with this boss. And it's for one specific reason they designed specifically into the coding of the game. All the bosses in this game are in 4-4 time. And every one of their moves and every one of their combos is in a 4-4 scale. So if you're good with rhythm and you're good with movement and memorizing like the tails of things, you know exactly like what beat to perfectly dodge and to perfectly hit whenever you need to. It's a really cool mechanic, and the more you play it, the more you learn it. This boss fight is the only boss fight in the entire game that's in 3-4 time. And because of that, it fucks up all of your movements because everything is offbeat just a slight bit because you're so ingrained already at this point because you're at least two bosses in, but upwards of like 4 or 5 bosses in, I think,
okay,
before you get to this moment.
I just want you to know that 3-4 is one of the easiest like alternative beats to deal
or
with.
It's one of the other way around. It's either 3-4 for the whole theme and then cheese 4-4 or the other way. I can't remember.
Either way, I mean, it's like the two most common.
I didn't say it was hard, but it's different, and it's a really cool mechanic that they actually like.
I thought you were
going to
say something
one
fucking crazy. I was like,
but this boss fight is just, it's really cool. They use like fire powers. They use like dual moments. She's also dancing the entire time she's fighting you.
And that's
so,
when David Bowie comes in.
Everything's very like flowy and like just like chaotic, but it just kills you. She does so much damage; it's insane.
Yeah, because literally, David Bowie's there. Just dance, whoa, just dance.
Dance magic.
No, that's a different David Bowie song. Just dance.
No, I know. I was saying one of the dance magic song from.
Yeah. I just picked songs that had dance in the title.
That's fair. I did. I don't remember if that one's called that, but you know.
I think it's Dance Magic Dance. I think that's what that song's called.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but
that was my
guess.
So, yeah.
Maybe it's just a labyrinth theme. Who fucking knows? There's
but
not
yeah,
the word
I mean,
dance
just,
in it.
I think that's one of the coolest and most elegant boss fights in that entire series. I think the boss is really and just really cool, and I like that it's very different, and it was designed and coded to be different than all the other bosses just to fuck with you.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of level of detail with devs like just trying to fuck with us in unique ways, because that's a good way to like change up the boss fight in a way that would only like really connect with how much you're paying attention to it.
All right. I mean, I can't picture it because I haven't played the Dark Souls games, but I will say there's only one boss that I've seen in the Dark Souls games, and I think it's in the second one. It's okay. The dragon.
There's dragons in a lot of there's a
I
lot
know,
of
but
dragons
it's like
in
the secret. It's like the knight guy who betrayed a king.
Oh, okay.
And like a dragon, he's riding a dragon or something. Or he becomes a dragon, one or the other.
Okay.
And it's like there's in this white landscape.
Is it in the clouds?
Like, possibly. I don't remember.
Because if I'm thinking what you're thinking is the nameless king.
Yeah, I think it's the
nameless
king.
And that's in Dark Souls 3. It's in the DLC of Dark Souls 3.
Oh, maybe it's not. I don't remember. It's a secret boss. I know
that.
Yeah,
that is a secret boss.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe that's the one. But I watched a friend of ours do it, and I was like, that's fucking sweet. And you just like, and there's all this backstory about how you betrayed everyone or something. And like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I actually like that boss fight. And just watching it, I'm like, oh, that's
there's
fucking sweet. They
a
do
lot
some
of
cinematic
amazing
shit in here.
Boss fights. I've almost debated making you play some of these games, but I also don't know how if you're going to enjoy them or not.
Meh. I tried the first one. The first one was fun. It's just, it's a lot because there's not a lot of direction.
Yes.
So, like, it is, and you really have to dive in. It's just like every game that has, like, the open world aspect. It's a little too much sometimes where you're like, I just don't want to get overwhelmed right now. I'd rather be told what to do.
Yeah. That's where I think like some other games like Liza P and stuff do that a little bit better, where they don't
have a
hold
more
your
directional
hand. Like it's still very difficult, but it's more linear.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to find everything. Like there's not a lot more like hidden areas as in Dark Souls.
All right. Well, that was it, guys. Those were our moments.
So yes, tell us what your favorite gaming moments are.
Or your least favorite character is Joel. If you say that, I will like you.
Tell us if we're wrong. I want to hear your outburst if we offended you with your
to trust me, I'm a huge Last of Us fan. Don't get me wrong. I've got a fuck ton of Last of Us shit. Yeah. Like, I
but, you know,
love
this
it
is
so
the
much.
Problem I have with gamers a lot is they're just going to, like, scream at us about, like, you're a fucking idiot for having an opinion outside the popular belief that I have chosen to have.
Like,
it's
a fucking
that or,
fact
or something.
You're entitled to your opinion. It's wrong, but you're entitled to it.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, sometimes that is the case. That is the case. I will say
yes.
That. And it's very, very few times, and it always has to do with something disgusting. So
that's fair. But I mean, no, like, especially in regards to this, like, I know it's a, these are hot takes. We say these are hot takes for a reason. We know they're going to be a little controversial. And
hot tamale. Tip.
You can ask Scott. Like, I was greatly offended the first times, especially on our first episode we even did of The Last of Us, where we talked about how much he enjoyed.
So fucking funny. He was so mad.
It hurt my feelings a little bit. It did. I was like, oh, he's gonna love this character as much as I do.
A weird man crush on this guy. It was so weird.
And then he just shot me down.
And I'm like, you just like people. You just like being in an abusive relationship. Apparently, that's all you like.
I was in a lot of those.
Yeah, there you go. It's easy to tell now.
And, you know, now that I'm out of a lot of those things, I see a lot more things that are problematic
about. Now you see why you like Joel.
And I'm like, huh, okay. Okay, yep. I was wrong.
I like men who beat me. It's fine.
He did it for the right reasons. He did it for love.
No, you don't understand. I made him mad.
It hurts because it's true, and I fell hard.
Well, that was the episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, seriously, email us, comment, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. We're on all the platforms, everything you can think of. We are on there. Throw some comments down, like the videos, do whatever, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Later.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.